Take your Bible this morning and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse number 8. It's always a joy for me and a privilege to go to the Holy Land. Every time you go, you uncover a new treasure in the Word of God, or you see something that you've seen for many, many times, and then all of a sudden it connects as to where it fits inside the Word of God. I'm thankful for the privilege that God has given us to just leave the Holy Land and to come back and to be with you and to read this passage of Scripture that we were reading just a few days ago in Shepherd's Field at the edge of Bethlehem. And there were in the same country, verse 8 of Luke 2, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And as it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. My message title this morning is simply, For Unto You. There's a great revelation that comes when we understand that Jesus Christ didn't come for the Baptists or the Presbyterians or the Methodists. He didn't come for just a group. But Jesus came for you. Jesus came for me. It was personal. And that I could understand that and absorb that on a level that I've never known or appreciated in the past. For unto you. The shepherds are very important in this particular passage of Scripture. When we look through here, we begin to understand the station of the shepherds. The shepherd's station in life. The shepherds of that day are separated from society. They could not leave their sheep. And many times the priest or the rabbis would be disrespectful to them because they couldn't keep all the religious rituals. If you're a shepherd, you can't leave your sheep, and therefore sometimes they could not observe all the ceremonial laws. And sometimes it put them in disfavor. They worked in the fields. They did not have the privilege of city life. They didn't have the privilege of all the facilities in city life. They're working with animals. They're in nature. And sometimes maybe the odor of the animals would rub off on their clothing. Their status in society was at the low end rather than the high end of society. They were looked down upon by many people. Even though they were honest and hardworking, the culture and the society may have framed the viewpoint of those around them. But we not only witness the shepherd's station, but we witness the sovereign Savior. Because when we see God at work, what is God doing to prepare this story? He is the one that has chosen the shepherds. Out of all the people, God could have gone to the carpenters. God could have gone to the farmers. God could have gone to the bakers. I've often wondered, why didn't God go to the ministers? Have you ever thought about that? Why didn't God send the angels to the Temple Mount? You think about that. Why didn't He go to the Temple Mount and have the angels appear to the Levites and to the priesthood and say, this is a great breakthrough. You're going to hear the good news. The Messiah, the kinsman redeemer, is coming. But that didn't happen. God chose the shepherds. And this sovereign God, He chose in Luke 1:26, He chose to send an angel, Gabriel by name, to a city in Galilee, Nazareth by name. That was an act of a sovereign God. God chose in Luke 1:27, He chose Joseph of the house of David. And He chose Mary that was a virgin. God chose in Luke 1:31, He chose His name to be Jesus. Before He was ever born, God selected a name. God said, His name will be Jesus. In Luke 2 and verse 5, God chose a time that Jesus would be born. He selected the time of the census and the time of taxes. That was not an accident. That was a time that God selected. In Luke chapter 2, verse 15, we see God not only choosing a time, but He chooses a town. He said, for Jesus will be born, His only begotten Son, in Bethlehem. God chooses a name. God chooses a time. God chooses a town. And God continued that in Luke 2:18. God chose shepherds to declare the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherd's station is there. The sovereign Savior is there. And the special service that these shepherds have been selected to do is by the hand of a great and a powerful God. Not an accident, not a happenstance, but God had a plan. God had a purpose. God does not view our world, our society, as we do. We all carry the weights of our prejudices. We carry the weights of our childhood experiences. We carry the life experiences of our parents and our grandparents. And we bring this with our society and with our culture. And it forms us and shapes us. But God has no such forming or shaping. He is not impressed by our culture or our society. God is not impressed with our status in our culture or society. He is not impressed with my money or with your money. He's not impressed with your house. He's not impressed with my neighborhood. He's not impressed with your clubs or your position in this world. God does not look on the outward. We look on the outward. We look at someone's clothes. We look at someone's car. We look at someone's position. But God, He doesn't do that. He steps aside and He looks not at the outward appearance. He looks not at the society that you're in. God always looks on the inside. God goes and looks at the heart. And the reason I believe that God chose the shepherds for this special service to the Most High and Living God was that God knew the heart of the shepherd. It was the shepherd's heart that God was interested in. He didn't go to the carpenters or the bakers. He didn't even go to the Levites. He didn't even go to the priesthood. He went out to the field and selected an innocent shepherd that's sitting there, the heart of the shepherd that cares for their flocks. Why would that impress a holy God? Well, the shepherd's life is such that if there's an enemy, an adversary, and the sheep are in the fold, the first thing a real shepherd does is he comes between the predator and the sheep. He's willing to put himself at risk. He's willing to be exposed. He's willing to say, if I have to, I will die for my sheep. He is a genuine shepherd, and he will give his life for those that are in his flock. So God himself said, when it's time for me to announce my only begotten Son, I'll select shepherds to carry out this great position of service because I know the heart of a shepherd. You can go to 1 Samuel 17 and read verses 34 and 35 and you can understand that shepherd as you see on your screen holding his lamb, watching over his flock, the life of a real shepherd. What does he do? What does he invest himself in? He has the testimony of high character that cannot be overlooked. The families in Bethlehem sent us some of the olive wood carvings of the shepherd carrying the sheep and holding the sheep because it's such a large part of their culture and their heritage that even to this day, with all of its modernization, they know that the livelihood of the shepherd and the sheep. Why did God go to these shepherds? We have the shepherd situation. We have the act of a sovereign Savior. We have them called to do a special service. And the reason is that Jesus himself identified with the shepherd. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Jesus gave his life for the sheep in John chapter 10 and verse number 11. Jesus is called the Chief Shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. Jesus is called the Great Shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. God's Son, His only begotten Son, is a shepherd. And God continued that identification by giving the shepherds of that day, 2,000 years ago, the privilege and the honor of announcing the good news that the shepherd is coming, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the one that will watch over the sheep of God for time and for eternity. God himself gave the privilege of the shepherds to hear the good news first and to carry the good news. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, one more time. And what do we see? For unto who? You is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I need to understand more than ever that Jesus came into that cave and he was born to be my Savior. The mosaic that you see on your screen is from the little church in Shepherd's Field. And you can follow the events of the birth of Christ. You can see the dog in the foreground. He's a great proclaimer of the good news. There's fear and anxiety when the shepherds first meet the angels, but by the time the painting is concluded, on the last wall, the dogs rejoicing and the shepherds rejoicing because they know that this is the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the kinsman redeemer. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed, my friend, to know that the scriptures declared, "For unto you, unto me, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Can you imagine the powerful testimony of those men understanding that the angels of God intersected them in their place of work? Shepherd's Field is so close to Jerusalem. It's just when you're standing there at Shepherd's Field reading the scripture, you just look over a couple of valleys and there's the city of Jerusalem within walking distance. And God chose the shepherds to hear first. God chose the shepherds for a special service. In Luke 2, verse number 16, what do we see? We see that they came with haste. When they heard the news, when they declared that this is from God, it says that they came with haste. And what did they discover? They found Mary, they found Joseph, and they found the babe lying in a manger. And then the Bible continues to read, "And when they had seen it," they had seen Mary, they had seen Joseph, they had seen the babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Who's going to wrap a newborn baby in death clothes? That was a prophecy, "when they had seen it." Who's going to take a newborn baby and put him in the feed trough of the animals, a manger? Those of you that have been to the Holy Land, you've seen those carved out stones they use for water, they use for feed. Who would take a newborn baby and put him down inside where the animals feed? Well, the shepherds had to go see that they'd find a baby wrapped in death clothes lying in a feed trough. But that's exactly what they did. And they made haste. They went right up the hill, John, went up to Bethlehem, and there they found those events fulfilled from the Word of God. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he was lying in a manger. And it says in Luke 2, it says, "When they had seen it, they made known abroad." The shepherds, look at verse number 18. Notice what the Word of God says. "And when they had heard it," when all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. All they that heard it. When they heard the news, they wondered at those things which were told them by who? The shepherds. All right? When they heard the news, how do all these people hear this story? How does everyone get involved? I read that over and over early this morning, and I thought, there's only one way they could all hear. The shepherds started telling it. You won't believe it. Guess what we saw? Guess what we witnessed? And then the Bible says that the people began to hear and the people began to understand because the shepherds were faithful to tell what they had witnessed. Now, this was a special service that the Lord asked them to do. Not any other group of people, not any other class of people, not any other profession of people. God went to the shepherds and said, "Will you go see this? And when you see it, then I want you to tell it." Now, notice with me in this passage, we started reading at verse 8. Do we see anywhere in here where God told them to go to Bethlehem? Huh? It says there was a, verse 13, there was a multitude of the heavenly host. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest. Verse 15, it came to pass the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go," where? To Bethlehem. Did God tell the shepherds to go? I'm talking about, did he put an angel in front of them and say, you go to Bethlehem? Do you understand? Their heart was being warmed. Their heart was being changed. Their desires were being changed. They were being transformed by the intersection of the power and the glory of God. It's not natural for shepherds want to go do what they did. God broke them out of their comfort zone. God got them off the couch. God got them out of the recliner. God got them out of the field. And God began to stir them and say, this is what you've been praying for. This is what you've been waiting on. This is the Messiah. And they were so excited, they said, let us go see what's come to pass. Now, when we experience this, the shepherds are then in a position of not only service, but I wrote down that the shepherds are now sanctified. You say, what does that mean, Brother Ralph? We're Baptists. You can't use that word, sanctified. Well, watch this. Because of Jesus, they are set apart from society. Because of Jesus, they're seeing the King. Because of Jesus, they're hearing the good news. Because of Jesus, they're watching the Old Testament prophecies unfold. Because of Jesus, they're now telling the good news. All of a sudden, they have been sanctified. They're set aside. That's what that word sanctified means. And if you have been changed by Jesus Christ, old things have passed away. All things become new. You have been set apart from society. How have you been set apart? Because I've seen the King. I was blind, but now I can see. I was crippled, but now I can walk. I've heard the good news. It started when he called my name. I was a 7-year-old boy playing in the shavings at Barnardsville, and my dad was preaching, and I want you to know, I didn't expect to hear the news that I heard that day, but Jesus passed by. He spoke to my heart as a little boy, and he said, Ralph, you'll never go to heaven because your dad's a preacher and your mother prays. You've got to know that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, it's not baptism. It's not sprinkling. It's not ritual. It's not candles. It's not giving. It's not catechisms. It's not joining a church. All of the ritual in the world cannot change you, will not change you, cannot make you a new creature. It is a personal relationship with the Lamb of God, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. That's what will make you new in the Lord Jesus Christ, a new beginning in Him. And so we find these shepherds are now set apart. They're different. They're seeing the King. They're hearing the good news. They're watching the prophecies unfold. And look at Luke 2:20. It says, and the shepherds returned. They returned. They went back to work. They didn't stay in Bethlehem. They went back to work. There's only one problem. They're different. They didn't have a pep rally. They've been changed. You see Jesus, you'll be changed. You hear the news, your sins have been forgiven, you'll be changed. Old things are passed away. The old crowd can't satisfy. All the toys and trinkets of this world cannot make you happy. The only thing that can satisfy the craving and longing of your soul is knowing that I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me. That is the good news. They went back to work, but they're different. How are they different? They know now that He is the Messiah. He's real. He's not just a prophecy painted on the pages of parchment that have been written down through the ages, read over in the temple and way back in the tabernacle, that one day there'd be a Redeemer. That day has come, that He is the Messiah. He is the kinsman redeemer. And so they had the reality of that fact in their heart. And when they saw Him, They knew that He was the Son of God, that He was the Messiah. So the shepherds, according to Luke 2 and 20, they returned. But oh, how they returned was far different than the way they had left. For now they come back glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, that they had been changed. It was back to work, but it's not the same shepherd. He may be doing the same job, but he's not the same man that was here the night before last. He's been changed. He's seen the Messiah. He knows that He's real. And you begin to think about the day God changed you, God changed your life, and He gave you the assurance that God's real, and that His Son Jesus Christ is real, and that the Holy Spirit of God has moved in on the inside. So I begin to see these shepherds and their special service. I begin to see these shepherds sanctified and set aside. But there's a closing thought I'd like to give you this morning because of the shepherds' geographic location. They're not just any shepherds. For those of you that have been to the Holy Land, you've seen and studied with us there at Shepherd's Field. You know how close we are to the Church of the Nativity, where the cave is located. You know that if we're standing there, that the shepherds, many times where we were eating lunch, there was a shepherd, would walk out across the field with his sheep, and they'd be in the proximity of the city streets and the building. And let's look across one or two valleys within walking distance. You can see the rise of the city of Jerusalem. This was not just any shepherd's field. This was God's choice. Now think with me for a moment. There are probably hundreds, maybe even thousands of shepherds in the Holy Land at the time Jesus is born. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of shepherds. As I asked earlier, why did they get this special visit, this particular group? Lawrence, you know from studying prophecy that this was also the location where the temple lambs were raised. It was this area, the closest to Jerusalem, the closest to the Temple Mount, that these sheep were raised. This was a place where the flocks were prepared. They were set aside. They were viewed. They were destined for sacrifice in Jerusalem. Only the best, only those without blemishes, only those without any spots on their wool. And those that were the best of the best were then set aside. They were destined for sacrifice in Jerusalem. Out of the hundreds, maybe thousands of shepherds, God selected these at Shepherd's Field in Bethlehem. I believe He selected this field because these sheep are headed for the sacrificial altar of the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem. The blood from those sheep at that time would provide a temporary atonement for the sins of Israel. Their blood would be shed, sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly, sometimes annually. It would be shed for the sins of Israel. A temporary atonement for the sins. Actually, all of the sheep of this temple flock were born to die. When the shepherd helped the ewe give delivery, and he began to clean and stroke the new lamb, he was saying, I know who you are. I know who your mama is. And you're on the way to the Temple Mount. You're born to die. You're a special lamb. You've been set aside. You have been prayed over. You've been prepared. Your mother was prayed over. Your daddy was prayed over. You are a special flock with a special shepherd. And all of a sudden, here comes the angels of a holy God with a proclamation that's unbelievable. They begin to assemble over Shepherd's Field. and they begin to declare that the Messiah has come and that they can visit Bethlehem. And they'd see the Messiah lying in a feed trough, a manger. And the way you'll spot him, he'll be wrapped in death clothes. God's going to provide a lamb. There's going to be a provision. As Abraham experienced putting his only begotten son on the altar, and God did not allow Isaac to be taken, God provided a lamb. And here we are today with all of our lives and circumstances. No matter what burden you bring, no matter what problem you bring, we have people in our church that are going through very difficult times financially. We have people in our church that are fighting battles with their marriage and with their children and a heartache and a prodigal son and a daughter that's breaking their heart. We have people in our church that are struggling with their health. They're literally battling for their life. And what am I going to do with my tomorrow? How do I face my circumstance? I've got news for you today. There's only one answer for your problems and for my problems, and that's for God's only begotten Son to be your Savior, because God chose Jesus to be the Lamb. He was born where the temple sacrifices were raised. Jesus' blood, unlike the blood of those lambs that provided only a temporary atonement, now we're going to find that the blood of Jesus provides a permanent atonement, a permanent redemption for the sins of men. Because Jesus is not any lamb. He's God's lamb. You can go back to the book of Exodus and you'll find a lamb. Then you'll find the lamb. Then you'll find your lamb. And Jesus wanted you to know in Luke 2, for unto you is born your lamb. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will provide that permanent atonement, that permanent redemption for the sins of fallen man. And how will we find the Messiah? How will we find baby Jesus? You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, we've studied together the swaddling clothes. Well, that's the death clothes of Israel. That's what every Israeli family carried as they traveled. That way, you could fulfill the custom. If you died before sundown, they would take the death clothes, wrap the loved one, and bury them in one of the many caves of the Holy Land, because they have to be buried before sundown. So if you traveled away from home, you had to always take your swaddling clothes. Jesus is born at God's appointed time. Mary and Joseph are from Nazareth, but they're in Bethlehem. They didn't know about God's appointed time or place. They're just following God's leadership. They're there for the census and to pay the taxes. They're in a town of God's choice. They're in a place of God's choice. They're there because God had prepared the Lamb. And when the baby was born, in a fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, what do we find, ladies and gentlemen? We find Jesus, the marker that was put upon him, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Just like the lambs that were born there in those fields, they were headed to the Temple Mount. They were a part of the sacrificial program of the temple. What you find here this morning is that Jesus was born to die. Just like those little lambs were born to die, Jesus was born to die. The swaddling clothes were wrapping his body, but the cross was in the background. He was headed to the cross. He was going to be your lamb. He was going to die for you. He was going to take your place. He was not going to be a temporary atonement, but a permanent atonement. Once and for all, He would give His life for the sins of fallen men. Let's bow our heads and pray together.